Stories of innovation and success from the vibrant communities of rural Nova Scotia. This is Ignited.
Welcome to Ignited, the podcast, where we celebrate innovation and rural success. I'm Wade Cleveland. I work for a rural innovation hub called Ignite. And we help build vibrant economies in rural Nova Scotia by bringing together startups and industry, youth and community. For the fourth in our annual Women's Founders Series podcast, I'm chatting with Maria McGowan, marketer extraordinaire, who's the founder of Sociable Media. She's been in the business for 20 plus years, was one of the early adopters of social media marketing, and remains on the forefront of it. And Maria has a great love for community and strongly believes in giving back to that community. And we'll talk about that, as well as her podcast, the Reimagined Energy Podcast, and her recent adventure climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. Maria, thank you so much for doing this today.
Thanks for having me, Wade.
Let's start with you and kind of your story. I'd love to hear your story because you got into social marketing on the early edge of things. It feels like social media has been around forever, but it really hasn't been on the grand scale of things.
Yeah. You know, when you think about it, it's funny how when I first got onto Facebook, I think it was 2006, and my niece, at that time, you had to be a college student in the U.S., and you had to be at a school to be on Facebook, because Facebook was started, you know, to be a connector between college students and chatting with one another. So I lied on Facebook and said, yes, I'm going to Texas Tech. Yes, I'm a student. You know, there was no vetting involved. I said, yes, you know, and it was a way to keep in touch with my niece and my nephew.
Oh, my goodness. Are you the first person to have a fake profile?
Oh, yes. And then I got kicked off. I can say I was banned from Facebook, and then I had to plead and beg my way back in. And so
that's hilarious.
And then it just opened up since then. But yeah, I was an early adopter, always curious, you know, on Twitter, now X, you know, always been curious about the digital social media environment.
What's your background? You talked about college and lying about you being in college, but obviously you have a strong marketing background.
Definitely. Well, it all started, you know, I grew up on the Eastern Shore. I went to St. FX, got a political science degree. I just always been interested in current affairs, always been interested in news, kind of a news junkie in that way. So I worked with CBC for a little bit in Northern BC, worked with tourism, always kind of in that marketing realm, always in the communication side of things. And I think that's just really spurred because I'm naturally curious, digital marketing, you know, and news, that never really leaves you. You have to be current and fresh all the time.
Yeah, very much so. At what point did you become a professional marketer? Were you working for someone else?
Yes. Well, I've always worked with either CBC or Tourism BC. Then when I moved back to Halifax, it was Pier 21, working with the awesome Ruth Goldblum, and working with economic development and tourism as well. And then, you know, Canada Game Centre. And then I always worked in that marketing capacity. And that's how, you know, through the years, it's just not the formal training, but just a lot of certificates and school of hard knocks along the way.
Okay. At what point did you decide, you know, it's time for me to do me and go out on my own and do my own thing?
Well, it was at a time when I was in between jobs, I was in between careers, and I was thinking, you know, I really should give this a shot. But I never really had I was scared, you know, two young kids, husband. I thought, you know, the timing's just not right. It's a risk. And I thought, you know, and then, you know, that got spurred on. And then 5 years go by and I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of this job. I'm tired of working. Let's just do this on my own and take the risk. And my husband was fine with it. And I just went for it. And there's been no turning back since then.
All right. So when you first started out, what was that like? Is there a lot of convincing? Did you already have kind of obviously you've been working in marketing for a long time, so you had a reputation.
I did.
That must help.
It does. I mean, having your network and having your contacts really helps, and people are very warm and congratulatory when you first start out. I actually had another entrepreneur say to me, she said, enjoy this time when you have no clients. Enjoy it. And I never really quite understood what she meant, but now I know what she means. It's like, you know, it's your time to kind of reset and kind of evaluate, you know, and dream a little about where you are, because, and you're still for a brief period of time before projects start and things get going. And I never forgot that.
Tell me about some of the challenges that you run into. Is there any particular challenges in being a female marketer as opposed to a male marketer?
Definitely. You know, there is, you know, it seems like the female side of things, and was like, oh, can you do my social media for me? You know, but that's one of my passions, but another one is digital analytics. It's also creating and designing websites. It's a lot of the nitty-gritty stuff, you know, the sales funnels and the customer journeys. I love that part of it. But for me, as a female, not only female, but I'm turning 55 this year, and I don't mind saying it, but there's a little bit of ageism I'm finding that's creeping up through, because, you know, they think the younger demographic know more about, you know, certain things. And I'm like, well, I've got, you know, 30 plus years of experience behind me. I've seen it all, you know, a little bit, you know, wealth and knowledge there. But yeah, I'm seeing that kind of surface a little bit, but, you know, or maybe I'm just more aware of it than others. I don't know.
I find that interesting, actually, because as someone who's getting up there myself, I do see it. And there's, even when it comes to things like when we're focusing on what Ignite does, when you're focusing on entrepreneurism,
right?
I've always kind of been a defender of older people as well, because, you know, we focus on youth and getting youth excited, for example, about entrepreneurship, which is wonderful. It is. It's absolutely wonderful. But there's also that entire generation that's a little bit older who's worked a career, who are interested in going into something new, who are ready for that and have life experience already. And they need to be encouraged as well.
Yeah. And that life experience is so valuable, and especially for future clients. Some clients are intrigued by, you know, like I hired my daughter. My daughter works with social media. She's 24. Some clients really like to listen to her insight because it's young, it's fresh. And then they also like to listen to my insight because, you know, it's a bit more seasoned, seen it all. So it's a really nice balance. I love that.
Now, you've done a lot of work. You mentioned before about doing like nonprofit work. Do you continue to do that kind of thing as you continue on with social media?
I do. I'm very much a community builder and a person to get involved. And, you know, I grew up in the Eastern Shore, so I'm involved in a couple of committees there. I'd like to be more involved in the Halifax side. I mean, I'm very big into the QE2 Foundation, you know, the Ride for Cancer. I really think that you have to be involved. And it's a form of not only networking, but it's a form of, you learn different ways of doing things, and you put into it, but you get way more back than what you put into it. I recently climbed Kilimanjaro, and that was with a nonprofit organization, and we all fundraised. You know, we paid our own way, but we also raised money to elevate for this national organization called NABS Canada. And that was truly an amazing experience where, you know, I got way out of it, way more out of it than anything. Still recovering.
That's amazing. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah.
That was quite an adventure. And I remember you mentioning this when you did your presentation at Ignite. Climbing Mount Kilimanjaro is quite a thing to say you've done.
Well, it took 9 days. And, you know, it's like, you know, eating an elephant. You take one bite at a time. It was just mind-boggling. I still can't believe I did it. You know, it's been 4 months, and I think it's now truly sinking in that, what the heck was that? But it was truly, they say climbing the mountain, it's 70% mental, 30% physical, which is astounding to me. But it is. You're gasping for breath. You're meditating because you could panic. You're on medication. You've got vaccinations to the hilt, you know, because it's Africa. And, you know, the preparation going in was nerve-wracking because you didn't really know what to expect. But then the sense of pride and confidence that, you know, that you gain from elevating the summit. And the summit was only half of it, you know, not even half of it. It was the journey getting there. That was the thought processes. Wow. I mean, I highly recommend it. You know, what an experience.
mindset is huge, both in doing something like that and actually as an entrepreneur, because you're kind of on your own. You're leading a group if you have a lot of employees, and it takes a kind of that I don't know, that strength, that inner constitution, if you will. So talk a little bit about that and how you build that up.
Well, it's not easy. I mean, people say it can be easy, but it's really, you're your own worst enemy at times, it seems. The worst thing you can do is compare yourself to others. You really just can't say, you can't look over there and think, well, that agency or that person's killing it. You can't compare. You don't know what journey they're on. They don't know the journey you're on. So you have to get away from that. And every agency and every service is different. They're different service offering, different talents that they have. And you really had, it's about growing teams. It's about always learning, being curious. But I think for me, to do it, it's a lot of drive, but man, it's hard on the head sometimes. Not going to lie. It's a tough thing to do. So you really have to make sure you have a good, solid network of great friends. You're into health and wellness, taking care of yourself, because you don't have somebody course correcting you along the way. You're really on your own.
I want to tell you about our Igniting Women in Business series at Ignite, providing rural women entrepreneurs an opportunity to connect, learn, and build their network through a series of initiatives, including a speaker series, gala, and retreat. We hope to inspire and empower rural women in business across the province. The theme is relearning through a women's lens. The sessions offer a space for women to discuss challenges that are faced by rural women in entrepreneurship, with opportunities to learn, network, and socialize. For more information on Igniting Women in Business and to sign up for our events newsletter, visit igniteatlantic.com.
Do you have mentors that you still rely on?
I do. I have a lot. A lot of them were former bosses of mine, who I have. And then also other people who have podcasts and who I've kept an eye on through the years. I'm like, wow. But it's nice to reach out to them because, which, sliding into podcasts, I have one of my own called, Reimagined Energy. And I'm finding that I'm getting a lot of mentors in the renewable energy space. Like, wow, people are so open and welcoming to talk about renewable energy. It's cool.
Let's talk about that, because how did you get involved in renewable energy? Was it just something you were curious about that one thing led to another?
Totally. Always curious. And I'd say four and a half years ago, we purchased a Tesla, and it was one of the first 10 in the province of Nova Scotia. And so my husband and I, we were always into, electric thermal storage. We built a home, we did it efficiently, for energy to save money on electrical bills, that kind of thing. So we've always been sort of interested in that. And naturally, it progressed from having the Tesla, learning all about that and the infrastructure for charging, all of that fun stuff. And we got solar panels. So it's always been percolating in the back of my mind. This is kind of interesting and cool. There's a lot of interesting things that I don't know about. So teach me. So the podcast was started really with the intention of teach Maria a little bit. And being Maria is the general public. Because we hear about hydrogen. We hear about battery storage. We hear about megawatts and gigahertz. And what the heck is that? And so it was out of that curiosity where, let's do a podcast where we kind of drill down where it's to layman, let's talk at a grade four level here, which is somewhat difficult for a lot of these academics to do.
Yeah, it is. It can be. And there's so much false information out there too, that it confuses the general public.
Yeah, it's funny because whenever I do a podcast on electric vehicles, always get a huge audience. People are curious. And then you read the comments that we have on Instagram or TikTok and others. And a lot of people, there's a lot of, myths and it's completely divided, and it astounds me because there's a lot of things that simply aren't true. And I don't know where this information is coming from. And so I'm trying to break it down. But EVs, whenever I do a podcast on EVs, there's always a huge audience that's listening in.
Well, you have a Tesla. You drove the Tesla from Halifax to Yarmouth.
Yeah.
Seemed to work okay.
No problems at all.
Tell us a little bit about that. Before we get, I know we're going down a rabbit hole here, but I am really curious because you're the first person that I actually know that I can have a conversation about this. Mm-hmm. How is everything going? Is it working fine?
Yeah, it's getting better all the time. I will never go back to a, you know, combustible engine car. I mean, I'll always be electric all the way now. So, but the infrastructure has certainly changed since 2019 when we first purchased the Model 3. And the infrastructure was okay. You know, there was a supercharger in Enfield, but that was basically it. NSCC campuses had it, but you didn't want to be there for 5-6 hours charging your car. I mean, hello, who has time to sit for 5 hours to charge going on? So there was a learning curve there on, you know, because there, it's called range anxiety. You know, do I have enough range to drive from Halifax to Yarmouth? 4.5-5 years ago, no, not really. You could have done it during the summer when the temperature is warmer, but not in the, you know, the dead of winter in February, let's say. So it took a little bit of pre-planning and some thinking ahead of time, but now you can pretty much drive in a lot of places in the province. You know, there's some connectivity there where you only need to charge for 30, 35 minutes and off you go down the road again. I think, you know, there's some pockets that aren't 100%, but they're getting there. And I'm confident about that. They're working on it. And it's really pre-planning and thinking ahead of time. And it's a different way of driving. But it's doable.
Right.
I've never been dead on the side of the road. My car has never been dead on the side of the road. You know, I've always, you know, managed to get from A to B quite fine in the past 5 years, four or five years.
And every year, innovations kind of come in and through, and it's one of those pieces of the economy that continues to grow in leaps and bounds because of the sheer necessity of it.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think, what is it, in 2035, all new makes and models in Canada, cars have to be electric. You know, so eventually we're all going to be driving electric cars.
And those kind of deadlines also force innovation in its own way, because there are problems that need to be solved.
There are, you know, but the infrastructure has to be there, you know, right alongside of it. And, you know, you have people who live in condos and in buildings in Toronto or Montreal, even here in Halifax. How are people going to be charging their vehicles at night? You know, so that's a big concern for commercial owners, people, you know, who rent out their homes or they have commercial real estate. How are people going to be charging? So all these things have to be well thought out. And people are thinking about it now. They're planning for it. But then also the batteries are getting stronger all the time. They're testing sodium lithium ion here in Halifax, which is really cool, and in Dalhousie. And, you know, they're trying to get away from lithium. It's expensive, but also it's difficult to mine. It's not the greatest, you know, environmentally sound, you know, minerals. So they're really trying to get away from lithium. Plus, it's refined in China. It's mined in other parts of the world, but it's refined in China. They're trying to get away from that.
Back out of that rabbit hole.
Okay.
It was interesting and a lot of fun, but podcasting in and of itself, as a marketer, you must find that podcasting is, A, very enjoyable, but it certainly does do what it's intended to do, which is connect you in a kind of a fundamental way.
Yeah, it's an absolute blast, I have to say. My podcast is a video podcast, so it's recorded visually, and which is really great because if we want to share it on socials, we can bust up that 20-25 minutes in duration into smaller segments and share it on TikTok, share it on Instagram Reels and LinkedIn, and also share it with the guests as well. I love it. There's a lot of people who are just hardcore podcast listeners, which is a really great audience. A lot of people like the idea of a podcast, though they don't really listen to them. It's just kind of interesting. But you do learn a tremendous amount by hosting a podcast. And I've learned a lot. I've actually gained a lot of confidence from it. You know, my speaking skills are a little bit better, like you would know, Wade. You know, it's after you get a few under your belt, you become a little bit more seasoned at it and asking some really good questions. you know, because at first I was scrambling and you're beating yourself up against the head. Like, I can't believe, do I really look that way? Like, holy cow, my face, you know, like my listening face is not pleasant. So I had to get comfortable with that.
That's hilarious. I have a face for radio, which is why this is an audio only one. But yeah, that's great though. And I love that. And I love the fact that it's video as well. It's one of the things that I'm kind of chicken over. I love the audio concept because A, I just come from that background.
The world, yeah.
But there's also the fact that I want people to be able to listen to it when they're driving down the road in a car. And so that was kind of my thinking. But I'd love to kind of combine the two. And I think as we move forward, we're probably going to play with that because you can get so much that you can put on social media by those little snippets. You can cut those videos up into pieces and use them forever.
Exactly. And I really think if you're hosting your own podcast, you're being vulnerable in some way. But really, you're you know, you might think that, but other people aren't thinking that. You know, we're all our own worst critics, you know, and we can look back. But I think at the end of the day, it's nice to leave your mark. You really gain and benefit a lot of by having it, being the host and also being the interviewee. I mean, there's something in it for everybody. I used to blog one time, don't blog anymore. I don't know, you know, I don't know if people really read blogs anymore. It's like podcasting is the new blogging. Perhaps, I don't know.
I think it kind of is.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do. I do. I enjoy writing, but now I write to nobody. It just makes me feel good. I'll be honest.
Well, we can get this transcribed and we can turn this into a blog, right?
There you are.
AI.
Yeah, that works.
Lovely.
Going back to the marketing side of what you do, what other tips would you give someone who's listening who perhaps is a beginning entrepreneur or an entrepreneur who's not really strong on social media? Is there anything that you would do in particular? And I know the question we always get, and we got it certainly on that marketing day that we did, is where do you go? And the answer usually is wherever your customer is, but it almost feels like one of those trite answers because you really have to think about where is your customer?
Well, exactly that. And, you know, you get into business to solve a problem, or that's mostly reason why we all get involved and we kind of know how to fix that problem. Plumbers get into plumbing because they know how to fix a leak somewhere. Same with social media, same with any type of profession. But I really think that you have to think about, I tell this to clients all the time, what's in it for me? You know, you have to think outside of yourself and your needs and wants. For example, on social media, it can't be all about the selling mode. It has to be about them. Even if you're designing your website, your business card, everything, it's not about what you want. You have to put yourself in your customer's shoes all the time. And if you put your mindset or your thinking into how would this look to somebody who's reading this? How would this look, you know, or how would somebody feel if they read this social media post or if they saw this website? What would they think about this? Turn that thinking around instead of, oh, I want to put this on the website. No, I want to put this on social media. No, you have to flip it to the other side around. And when you crack that nut, it's going to change your writing. It's going to change your thinking because you're going to be relatable to your audience. It's all about that. You know, and people gravitate to people who get them.
For sure. Those are great pieces of advice. Thank you. What's next for Maria and Sociable Media?
Well, I'm going to continue trucking along on the podcast, which is, you know, I'm going into season 3. I have a survey out right now where I'm asking people what content would they like to see. Do they want to see more EVs? Are they curious about battery storage, solar? There's a lot of work to be done there. Got some really great guests lined up already. But what's next for Sociable is really just to ride the storm of, you know, of inflation and people cutting back and just trying to diversify. And just be easy on myself. Just, it's, you know, the world's a little tough right now. We're all kind of recovering. So find the things that bring you to spark joy.
I love it. Maria, thank you so much for this. Thank you for taking the time and coming in today. And let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Wade. Thanks for having me.
To find out more about Sociable Media, visit mariamcgowan.com and or sociablemedia.co. Check out the Reimagined Energy podcast, too. The website is reimaginedenergy.com, or just find them on YouTube. You can follow Maria on LinkedIn as well. To find out more about rural innovation and what Ignite does, check out igniteatlantic.com. You can follow Ignite Atlantic on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and follow me on LinkedIn as well. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you subscribed to Ignite It, shared us with your friends, and gave us a good review. And remember, you can find past episodes anytime by looking over our archive wherever you download your pods. We'd love to hear from you. Any comments or suggestions about the podcast or who you'd like to hear on it are most welcome. Email me at wade@igniteatlantic.com. I'm Wade Cleveland. Thanks for listening. Talk soon.